Welcome to MVP Podcast, also known as Most Valuable Photography Podcast.
MVP, episode 11, Most Valuable Photography Podcast. I'm Clay.
And I'm Devon.
And we are here in the beginning of 2020. The world is dealing with a bit of a crisis.
Yeah, a small one. A small one.
Yeah.
a little something.
It's a little something. Yeah. It might look like a movie. It might make you feel like you're in the Matrix, but this is real.
Yeah.
And we are all on quarantine. And in this episode, we're going to talk about what one can do or what we are doing during the quarantine.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's hard for, you know, photographers who are used to being out and about and shooting, and it's a whole different world. But there are things that you can do at home and that you can do and be very productive during this time, because I hear a lot of photographers say one of the main complaints is, I don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. So now you have time.
Nothing but time.
Some people are still, I mean, you're on the front line, so mm-hmm. you're still very busy. There are some people on the front lines who are still very busy or busier working from home, but there are a lot of people that have a lot more time. You know, students, there's no school, so you have more time. Mm-hmm. Teachers, there's no school, you have more time. So there's a lot of us that are, my studio is closed, so mm-hmm. I have more time. So one of the first things I thought of was, and this goes back to the podcast we did about being monogamous with your gear, mm-hmm. is kind of going through your gear and, maybe purging some of it. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like as photographers, you know, we all get gas and we all buy things, and it may have been important at the time, but we may not touch it anymore. So there may be a lot of things that you bought when you first started out that may have been, you know, not of good quality, but you kept it. And now it's just taking up space. Now's the time to go through all that gear that you may have, those old lenses that may be for a camera body that you don't have anymore. And, you know, start to get rid of some of that stuff. It's just clutter, mm-hmm. you know, and you're holding on to it for, I don't know, you know, maybe it has some sentimental value, but, you know, it's just clutter, and it's a good time to kind of do a spring cleaning and get rid of some of that stuff that you're not using, or, you know, just taking an assessment of, you know, is the gear still in good condition? You know, you have that one tripod or that one light stand that's missing a screw, and it's been missing a screw forever. Like, put that screw back. It's that time when you can do those little things, mm-hmm. To put things back together. So I think it's a good time to kind of go through your gear. I have way too much gear. I'll admit it. And I need to go through and inventory it and see what's there, what's working, what's not. Stuff that was given to me, stuff that I bought over the years from different studios moving around. And it's just trying to take assessment of all that stuff and say, okay, I'm using this, I'm not using that. Mm-hmm. This is just taking up space and this needs to be replaced. Those sort of things. It's a good time for that.
Agreed. Now, you said that sometimes, you know, a lot of people will have a lot of free time. And those who are on the front line, you may feel like you don't have time, but speaking from experience, when you do get off duty, maybe do take the time to explore some of these things that Devon is talking about, because sometimes you do need an escape from what you have been dealing with at work.
Right.
So it's good. Definitely. It's good for even people who are at the front lines.
Yeah, no, definitely. The second thing I thought of was, take this time to learn your gear. Mm-hmm. You know, I know photographers who've been shooting for years and they still struggle with the same, going through the menus of their camera, different things to working with off camera flash, on camera flash. Like, this is a good time to learn all of that stuff. Yeah. Because you have the time to sit down, go through the menus, see the different functions that your camera is doing, knowing that you don't necessarily have to buy another piece of gear to do the thing that your this camera that has already built into it. So just go through, see the limitations of your gear, see what works best, see what's working, what's not working. You know, just learn it. Mm-hmm. It's a good time to, you know, to get really down to the nitty gritty of what your gear is capable of and all the menus and all the special features, now's the time to go through it and learn those features.
Mm-hmm.
If you never tried, you know, things like high speed sync and, you know, all these other cool features that you might have bought the Flash because it has it,
mm-hmm.
but you haven't been using it because you never learned how to use it.
Right.
Now's a good time to learn how to use it.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's one thing you need to do to be a creative is to get the tools out of the way, and your camera is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a carpenter, every time he goes out, he's struggling to figure out which end of the hammer to use and how the saw works and which blade to use, like, he's not going to be able to build a house. So, you know, learning your tools is the first thing you should do before you try to create, because the tool, you don't want the tools to get in the way. They're there to get the job done. So you want to have those things where you're not even thinking about them and you're just thinking about creating. And especially if you're doing any type of portrait photographer, because any type of portrait photography, because you're dealing with the subject at that point, and that's the most important thing. The last thing you want to do is be dealing with your gear more than you're dealing with the subject, which is the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, take this time, break out the manual, download the manual, learn your gear.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're learning your gear, the third thing I have was test your gear out. You know, everybody has, you know, we purchase things because we want the new, latest and greatest, because we think the gear we have is limited. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not the gear, it's user error.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you think about it, the prosumer camera that's out now is better than what the pros were using years mm-hmm. ago. So, you know, you have enough, you know, you have everything you need right now to get the job done. It's just a matter of doing some testing on your own. Forget about what so-and-so said on YouTube or the blog you read about the gear. Test it for yourself and see how you can use it. Because again, it's a tool, and the way you use it to create the stuff that you want to create may be different than everybody else that tested it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may be unique. So take that time to see, you know, how good is this lens at different f-stops? How good is this flash at this distance? How good does my camera work in continuous focus mode? How well does it track the subject? All those little things that you may find yourself doing when you're out shooting. Now's the time to test the limitations of it, to see the good and the bad of the gear that you have. So take the time out to, like, test everything that your gear can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as you're learning it and you're going through the manual, you know, test it out. See what it is. You know, hopefully if you're home with your family, tell the kids to run around. Check that. see how many shots you can get using continuous shutter. You know, how many do you nail focus, you know, and start to see those things and test it out and see the limitations. And, you know, so then when things are back to normal and you're out shooting, you know, like, oh, I should avoid this, but this is my go-to because I know I tested this, the camera's great, you know, so you know that I should never use this lens wide open because it's awful, but if I go to f4, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. It's like a whole different lens. So, you know, those type of things you could be doing in the testing phase.
All right.
I mean, and the fourth thing I had was education.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to invite everybody to go to my free university. It's called YouTube University and learn something new. YouTube is an amazing tool. Everything, I feel like everything is on there that you want to know about photography.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, there's a million ways to do the same thing, and you'll find your way in which clicks with you if you go through YouTube, and you'll find YouTubers who you click with and you understand and you like the way they teach and they demonstrate. Like, go on YouTube, take that time, learn how people are doing the things that you want to do. So whether it's landscape photography, portrait, still life, macro, it's all on there. You know, take advantage of it, and it's free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just takes a little bit of time to sit down, go through it, watch it a couple of times, and then, you know, go back and test your gear out and practice those things that you saw on there. I think it's a great, I mean, I love YouTube. I think I learned so much about photography on YouTube, more than going and paying a whole heap of money to take to take classes and those sort of things. Another on YouTube in a 15-minute video.
Yeah, true. And another bonus to YouTube is that if you're in the process of learning something, you could record yourself teaching someone else and you'll actually learn it better because you're actually getting down to the fundamentals of whatever it is you're learning. So you're not just surface level learning it. You're actually learning it to a point where you're trying to teach it to other people. Now, of course, you may have commenters who tell you that you're doing it wrong or whatever, but if the results are what you're seeking and they are making you happy, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think 2020 and beyond, what we need to learn as creatives is to ignore the naysayers.
Yeah.
You know, ignore the chatter. It's a shame that we look for
validation.
We look for validation online.
Yeah.
And it's the one person sitting in their underwear in their living room eating Cheetos.
That's I was just like gonna say that bad about Cheetos.
You know, you know? It's that guy. Yeah. And that's the guy you're gonna let deter you from moving on with things that you're trying to pursue. It's not a good way to be. Yeah. It's not worth it. Shoot for yourself and shoot for those people who want to learn from you or who enjoy watching you shoot and enjoy your photography. That's what you should worry about. The people who don't like it, so what? Yeah. You know, I mean,
they weren't going to like it anyway. So what's, you know?
Yeah. I don't like McDonald's. McDonald's does not care.
Exactly.
McDonald's is not closing any of their shops because Devon doesn't like us.
Exactly.
You know, they're still selling their millions of hamburgers every year.
Yes,
you know, so, you know, shoot your millions of photos. Don't worry about those handful of people who give you a thumbs down or who don't like what you're doing or who say stuff about what you post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay away from that. So take this time to kind of also to take a little more confidence in your photography. There's nothing wrong with learning. There's nothing wrong with trying to get better, but don't let the chatter discourage you.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth thing I had was it's also a good time to organize and purge your photo catalog. If you're like me or many other photographers who shoot digital, and I shoot film as well, you have a lot of pictures. You know, you go out, you shoot a lot of pictures, and especially from the time when I was first starting out, I overshot like crazy. Like every shoot was 1,000-something pictures. And that's hard drive space, that's storage space. But, you know, I realized that there's just a lot of pictures of nothing. You know, I was just practicing and I was shooting and there's like 1,000 pictures of the same scene. And, you know, I didn't need all those. You know, every shot is 10 shots, you know. So go through, purge them. It's okay. You know, save one, get rid of the other 10 that you shot of the same thing. Also, it's a good time to organize it and, you know, tag them so when you're looking for photos, you know, you can just pull them up really easy, because that's a struggle for me a lot of times. Is I'm looking for stuff and I can't find it, and I have to remember what I named it or when I shot it. And it's a lot easier having stuff tagged and cataloged when you can just type in keywords and all your stuff comes up. So it's a good time to go into whatever software you choose to use. I know there's some Adobe haters out there. If you use that software or you use Capture One, which we love, you can.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
You can use any of your preferred softwares to go through, purge, and organize your catalogs.
You can use any of your preferred software, but just be aware that Capture One is number one. My subjective opinion.
Sponsored in part by Capture One. No. yeah, so I think it's a good time because you have the time, and that's usually a tedious thing. And it may be something where you, once you start doing it, you incorporate it into your workflow now where you're deleting pictures, you're tagging them and organizing them as you're importing them into the catalog.
Yeah,
I think it may be something that you realize is beneficial to you.
Yeah, true.
And one of the last ideas I had was to just take some time to write down some ideas and goals that you want to do with your photography. I'm a firm believer in when you put pen to paper, you tend to do it. So, you know, take the time, some quiet time, sit down and see, like, where do I want to take my photography? What do I want to do? What are some of my dream shoots that I want to do? What are some levels I want to achieve with my photography? What are some projects I want to do? Who are some people I want to shoot with? Some places I want to shoot. And it can be, you know, down the street or the other side of the world. But I think now's a good time to put those ideas down and come up with some good ideas. And you'll see that, you know, writing them down, funny things happen. They tend to happen. You know, I don't know how it works, but the stuff I write down tends to happen.
That's awesome.
And I tend to get it done.
You put it out in the universe.
Yeah, you put it out in the universe, and the universe says, okay, here you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know? But yeah, those are some ideas that I had. You know, if you, again, going back to YouTube, there's a lot of different videos up now of things you can shoot in the house and different ways to shoot in the house. But I wanted to get some ideas that were a little different from that. I didn't see anybody speaking about actually your photography and stuff you can do with the stuff you have and what you can personally be doing. Everybody has ideas of, you know, how you can use a lamp and, you know, doing macro photography or shooting out your window and those sort of things. And I think those are the things that kind of come obvious to us once we're sitting in the house for a while looking for stuff to shoot. So, you know, just giving you some ideas of where you can, you know, make it productive. And some of these things could take you a few days. If you have a lot of pictures, it's going to take you a while to organize that catalog.
Yeah.
You know, and
don't be discouraged if it actually is taking you the whole time. Maybe you have that many pictures that you may have to have, you know, break it up in chunks, but just get into it. Just do it. You'll be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing like somebody asking you, hey, do you have a picture of, and you can pull it right up.
Yeah.
You know? And that's a good feeling, you know, and take advantage of YouTube. YouTube will, you know, help you get into a good workflow. It'll help you develop a style. It'll help you, you know, it'll just help you out in general from taking pictures, editing pictures, cataloging your pictures, and anything you're struggling with, you can probably find free information on how to get it done.
True. Very true. You know, during this crisis, this pandemic, this, I don't know what you want to call it, this isolation, this sequestering from the outside world, social platforms show you all sorts of people, you know, living their lives. And I say, you know, there are beautiful men and women that I would like to photograph. I slide into the DMs. I've been sliding into so many people's DMs for after this is done, because
amazing.
I want to shoot these people. I mean, time is precious, life is precious, and right now everyone is sort of caught off guard, you know, sitting back wondering what is going to happen next. And you might brighten someone's day by telling them that you actually want to shoot them. You have nothing to lose. Photography shoot, by the way.
Yes. Well, the other thing is that it's a good time to reach out to people, because people are actually responding.
Yeah.
So if you want to reach out to your favorite photographer, and like, it's amazing. Like, people are answering text messages, emails, they're responding because they have time.
Yep.
You know, and the sad thing is that, you know, a lot of creatives are not working at this time because you can't go out, you can't congregate. So, you know, you can reach out to a lot of these people and you'll likely get a response very quickly, shockingly quick. Yeah. So it is a good time to reach out to people. And, you know, like, if you want to shoot with them, you want to collaborate, you need advice, I think people are very willing at this time, and I don't think you'll see a time like, I hope you don't see a time like
this. Yeah, that's not.
You know, I don't know it. Well, to say that, I don't know if people are going to maintain this level of humanity and willingness to help the fellow person.
I'm cynical. So I'm cynical, but I hope to be proven wrong.
Right, right. So I would say take advantage of this time where people are very willing, very neighborly. I see people, like, I go for walks to, you know, just get out the house, and, you know, you see people across the street and everybody waves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody smiles, everybody waves. I'm not used to that.
Yeah, especially not in the world of the North.
No, I'm a 6 foot black man. I don't like. I'm sorry, you know, people don't wave at me. Uh-huh. It's you know, so and you know, it's so all that to say, the spirit is there. So take advantage of the spirit that's out there now. You know, and you know, take this time to get better. I mean, it's a bad situation, but if you can like resolve like, okay, I'm going to come out on the opposite side of this better than I went in. And, you know, you may just come out a better photographer, you know, so, or you may just have a really clean, a really clean catalog and your gear will be immaculate and scaled down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very true. Yeah. Nice. Hopefully that gives people some food for thought.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, you can find me on social media at Devon Warren Photo on all social media. That's DevonWarrenFoto, and that's on all social media.
Yes, and I'm CW Daily everywhere, website, all the social platforms. Yeah, reach out to us. We are responsive. Especially now.
Yes. I'm very responsive too.
Yes.
Awesome.
We've missed you, listeners. If you're doing any projects, let us know. I mean, you know, I'd like to see what people are doing. So let us know.
Me too. Yeah, that'd be awesome to see some of the results of the quarantine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, cool. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
We will
be safe out there.
Yes, wash be safe. Hands. Wash your hands. Don't get into people's faces.
No, stay home.
So soap is stay your best home. Friend.
Yes, soap and
soap and water.
Soap and staying home.
Yes.
Yes. All right,
man. Ciao.
Ciao.
But listen, though, come on, be honest with me, though. This is for the after show, for the listeners who are like devoted listeners who are listening to after the show. Which camera are you going to buy? We know you're going to
buy.
You're going to buy a camera. Come on.
You know, I'm trying to think of, and I was saying it, the only other camera that I may want is a Hasselblad.
Mm.
And that's just to say, and be totally honest with you, it's just to say I have a Hasselblad.
Mm.
You know, just to say I have one.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any other, or either that or, yeah, I think as far as 35 millimeter, I've come to the realization that nothing's beating the Leica M6.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful camera.
And I, you know, I have that. And TLRs, I ran, you know, I have the Rolleiflex, but I fell in love with the Mamiya C33.
Mm-hmm. That's still your thing, huh? That's still your jam.
It's still something magical about the way those lenses are just amazing. I mean, it's the same reason everybody likes like the RB series. It's
just
a great camera.
But wasn't there a rumor that you were going to get an RB again?
There was a rumor because of the new instant Polaroid back, but I'm going to wait till they come out with like version 3.
Okay.
The one they're putting out now is like 3D printed, and I think I'll break it. I'll be mad because it's not cheap.
Yeah, it was not cheap.
Yeah, so just trying to, you know, but deep in my heart, I want to be that guy that has like that one Leica that's just like all braised, and I just shoot it to death. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know, it's just like you can see all my handprints on the metal and everything else. But I would say if they put 35 millimeter frame lines in the Leica 3G, mm-hmm. I think that would be my favorite camera.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just walking around shooting with that thing is just...
Is it longer than the M6?
No, it's actually smaller than the M6.
Is it? Oh, okay. All the time I thought it had like a longer base.
No, it's actually smaller. It's funny, the 3G is slightly bigger than the 3S. Mm-hmm. But the lightness of it and the ability, now I know why it was so popular with, like, you know, Vietnam photographers and photojournalists of the time, because it was just something you could just, you know, you could put in your pocket, you could throw it over your shoulder and walk around with it all day, and you don't really notice it's there. Mm-hmm. But that would be like the perfect.
What is that? 50 frame line?
50 frame line. Okay. Yeah. So I have the, collapsible 50 on it.
Oh yeah. That's a sweet combo though.
Yeah, really compact, great for like black and white. It's like the black and white photos that you've always seen from, you know, the 60s and 70s. Just a great camera, workhorse, you know, brass, like a feel to it. But as far as, you know, ruggedness and just a great 35 millimeter camera, I think the M6 is it
nice.
the meter and everything else.
Yeah.
But you know, you put me on to these Canon rangefinders. So
those things are so sweet.
The Canon 7SZ to me, because of the Leica 3G, the reason I like it is because I can shoot it without my glasses because it has 1.5 magnification on the rangefinder that's adjustable. So you can adjust the focus. So I can focus it to my bad eye.
Oh, snap. That's pretty good. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the range finder, it has a little adjustable like Doppler on it. You can adjust diopter to it. Yeah, the diopter to it. And you can adjust it to up to 1.5 magnification. And that's where I'm at with my glasses.
Wow.
So I can adjust it that way. And the one-to-one range window on the camera on a Canon 7S is just amazing to me. Like, that's just like looking through that thing, it's like, oh man, this is sweet.
How does it compare to a Canon P? Because you had a P as well, right? Didn't you?
Yeah, I had a Canon P, almost the same.
Okay.
Almost the same. The only difference being when you look through the Canon P, you see all of the frame lines. Where the 7S has a switchable.
Oh, gosh, really? That's awesome.
Yeah, so you have a dial that goes from, 35, you have 50, and you have 135.
Doesn't it have the 28 as well?
No, it has 85 and 100. It's 135.
Oh.
So it doesn't have 28.
Okay.
So,
wait, is the external frame probably equivalent to 38? External parameters?
No, the biggest. When you're shooting 35, it covers the whole.
Whole window. I got you.
Yeah, because it's 1-to-1.
Yeah. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. So, I can almost shoot this one without my glasses.
Oh wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's great camera, but I just think that they got it right as far as like feel, everything else with the
3G
M6.
Oh, the
M6. But the 3G, really love shooting. Yeah. It's just like something like it's just I don't know if it's the old schoolness of it or what it is, but it just feels good.
That German precision.
Yeah, and just that ability to adjust the focus of the rangefinder. Yeah. You know.
Very cool.
It's great. Yeah.
Nice.
Great.
All right. Well, I guess you will let us know when this is done, how you did with your purchases.
Yeah. I'm trying to hold out, but
I'm not even looking. That's how good I'm holding out.
Yeah. I'm not. I mean, I kind of went on a buying spree because I was getting these deals and I ended up. So I'm probably going to sell off the ones that I repaired and can let go.
Yeah.
But. And part of me is just like, just keep it. It's like a...
Yeah, you know? There is that.
So, I mean, because then, like, my son will be a teenager, and he's like, man, I really would like a Leica, and I'm like, can't afford it. And I'm like, yeah, I remember I had two of them, and, you know.
And now they've gone up in price again.
Yeah. So, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I just cleaned up my camera collection, and, you know, just took the time to do that. went through my film pictures.
Yeah, I actually need to do that. It's just that I have so much working right now that I am spending time in Capture 120, which I am loving. But yeah, other than that, anything beyond that, I'm not really doing much.
Yeah, the new color editor in Capture 120.
Golly, man, that's magic. Lightroom mm-hmm. doesn't, like, I remember using Lightroom and I loved doing color edits in Lightroom. That is nothing mm-hmm. compared to version 12, and it's nothing compared to version 20 at all. It's not even close, unless things have changed since I've been there.
Yeah, I don't think Lightroom is there yet. I think Capture One is just, as far as just being a raw editor, I think Lightroom is great when you have like a bunch of photos and you're trying to catalog them and sync things and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But as far as like editing and how it like sharpens, how it like whatever mathematical computations they're doing to figure out the best way to get this stuff done, they're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, they are. They are. And the thing is that, especially for people who shoot Sony and Fuji, like, if you shoot mm-hmm. those two brands, like, once you go over to, like, Capture One, you're like, wow, Lightroom was butchering my pictures. Like, it's huge difference. Now, you can get it to look better in Lightroom, but it just takes more work.
Yeah, and the other thing I realized recently is just the difference between doing the DSLR scan mm-hmm. and doing, like, the scanner mm-hmm. thing. It's like, images I thought were no good are great.
with the DSLR scan?
Yeah, with the DSLR scan and with the and using Capture One.
Yeah.
Like, images I thought were like, oh man, these are awful. They're great. They're like detailed, everything. It pulls the detail out. It does all of that, man. I'm like,
that's pretty
amazed.
Cool.
I'm amazed. Yeah. So it's kind of like having, like, when you send stuff out to the lab, like, this is probably equivalent to what they're doing.
Yeah. With the dynamic range and all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, you get it back.
Yeah.
You know, you're able to get it back. So, yeah, I'm using the Sony, the 90mm macro.
Yeah, that lens is the best for this thing. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. 90mm macro with into the A7R III.
Mm-hmm.
And the images are just great. Even doing, even when I'm doing 6x6 and I'm losing some on the edges,
mm-hmm.
it's still great.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's still great. So, that's why I'm doing all my scans. Like, I'm probably just going to offload. Either I'm going to gift the scanner to, like, you know, a younger shooter or something, or I'll just sell them.
Yeah. After this is done, I'm actually going to do the same. I mean, if I need to scan a document, I use my iPhone. And if I need to scan a slide or, you know, a film negative, I use my Sony with the 90 macro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a little more set up and everything mm-hmm. to get it going. But the image quality is just worth it.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
It's just worth it, you know, to get this kind of detail with the scanner I had. And the one I had was decent, but just too much work.
Yeah.
You know.
Agreed.
So.
Alrighty, cool, man. So.
Alright, bro. So yeah, I'm gonna upload this to you.
Yes, definitely. We'll chat later.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you.
Yeah, definitely. It was good talking, man. We'll chat. I'll slide into your sir. DMs.
yeah.
Alright, man.
All right, later. Bro, later.
Yeah, man. Ciao.